website, NorthSmithShow.com. So I'm still looking at this Foxconn deal. And, you know, Wisconsin's going to get fleeced over this. And, you know, it's one of those things where you go, you can't even question, is it going to get done? Because you may remember where I'm at in Pennsylvania, there was talk a couple of years ago. In fact, there was a plan put forth and, you know, former Governor Corbett, you know, was touting the fact that they were going to give, you know, huge amounts of money away that they were going to obviously take from education and social services to hand off to this company to bring a factory to Pennsylvania. And we were going to begin to be the Silicon Valley of the Northeast and blah, 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 blah. Well, didn't happen. But hey, nice press conference. Lots of yay talk, not much action. So I'm looking at what's going on in Wisconsin, asking if, well, is that going to be the same thing? Here to talk a little bit about it, we've asked Frank Emspecht. He is the executive producer over at Workers Independent News, also a managing editor. Frank, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you. The thing in Wisconsin is very interesting because it's $3 billion, right? It's about $20,000 a job. And this is from a Republican administration for years, which has said we can't subsidize anything. We want to cut money in the schools. We want to take $1 billion out of the university budgets over the years. And so they're doing the exact opposite here without a binding agreement, you should understand.
Right.
In other words, what they have is a letter of intent that they signed the other day in Washington. The number of jobs is not clear. They talk about average wages, not median, so we really don't know what kind of work it's going to be. And it's at a level of subsidy, which is about 10 times what anybody else has ever done. Even the craziness in Alabama was about $2,500 a job. Here, it's $20,000, $18,000, this kind of thing. And really, it's a political deal. Where is it going to be? It's going to be in Paul Ryan's district. Is it going to be 10 miles north, let's say in Milwaukee, where it might actually do some good? But it's going to be in Paul Ryan's district. And it also happens to be helpful because it's right near the Illinois border. So, people will be commuting from Illinois probably as well. And so they're going to get a double political hit here. That's what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this, and again, the first report I saw, you know, said there would be like 3,000 jobs or $3 billion. And I'm going, isn't that like $1 million a job? Wouldn't it be, you know, just better to invest that into the local community and maybe stuff that we need?
Well, there's all kinds of issues. I mean, let's talk about $3 billion, okay? Let's take $1 billion of that. If you put that into the public schools here, as opposed to taking it away, you would then refund, because the Republicans have done such a good job reducing funds for public schools, you'd bring back the level of funding that you need in the state, particularly for the rural areas here, which have just been devastated by the governments, by the Republicans' cuts in education. That's the first billion. The second one, you go back to the university. When you think of job creation, one of the biggest successes here in this state has been the spinoffs from some of the campuses of the University of Wisconsin. Just like you have Silicon Valley in California, which was in part a spinoff from Stanford University, but also the universities in San Francisco, what you have here is a research park in Madison, Wisconsin, among other places, which is not the only one. There are 1,000, probably 5,000 or 6,000 biotech and high-tech jobs now in that research park, mostly spinoffs from the University of Wisconsin. Never mind Epic out here, which is a medical systems system, which has 8,000 people. And again, those are spinoffs from stuff done at the university. So on a per-job basis, anything is better than this, but $1 billion would mean to the university that we could redeem the arrangement here in the state from many years ago, which is if your kid did well in high school, they could get into the university and it would be practically free. That's what $1 billion would do to the university, transform the economic and educational basis of the state. So that's the second billion. You still have a third left over. And there you could fund the kind of rail and transit network that you need to make Wisconsin competitive. And I say that in the most serious way. You have the University of Illinois down there in Champaign-Urbana, which is another Big Ten school. It's competitive to UW in many ways. They're going to have a direct rail line from O'Hare Airport to Champaign-Urbana. Well, if you land at O'Hare Airport and you want to get to Madison, two things happen. 50% of your planes are later canceled, or you can take the Van Gelder bus, and you get off on a sidewalk in a rainstorm with no bus shelter on the street here. Well, you know, that's not going to work if you have anybody who's really competitive. And so that second or third billion could go for the rail system between Chicago and Milwaukee and Minnesota, all through the state. So you would bring Wisconsin back to the 21st century. That is an economic development program when you take $3 billion.
Yeah, but that's kind of hard to have, you know, big signing ceremonies with.
Huh? Look, the construction industry people, I talked to the building trades Friday at some length about this. Because, you know, Walker and Trump have been talking about them for months, right? Well, this is going to be a non-prevailing wage project because the governor is pushing to make sure all prevailing wage legislation is out of the state budget by the time they get around to signing it. So, bingo, right? You're going to have non-union, out-of-state contractors coming in here to that project that will result in bidding down the construction wages in the entire state of Wisconsin. So what's going to happen here is that this project will be used to further attack the building trades unions. And I think almost everybody in the trades sees this that way.
Yeah. What do you say to the person, though, Frank, who says, you know, this is
just your first part of the rant, but I'll calm down. Just bankrupting the state and destroying this. But okay, all right, I'm calm.
Okay, well, what do you say to the person who said this is going to reignite the manufacturing base?
It's nonsense. It's nonsense. We're talking about what amounts to printed circuit board assembly work here, okay, which is increasingly robotized. You go to Foxconn in China, assuming people aren't jumping off the roof because they're so upset, you've got an increasing automated, robotized operation. And they're putting this plant here not to manufacture, you know, not to help the Wisconsin people out, because it's too complicated to ship these big flat-screen devices from China to the United States. It adds too much of a cost. Better to produce it here. They're not coming in with high-skilled machinist jobs. It's just not going to happen, and that's not the way this stuff is produced. It's just not there. So, right. I mean, yes, there'll be some engineering jobs for sure. Yes, there'll be some design jobs. But the majority of it is going to be low-paid, unskilled, relatively unskilled assembly work. That's what it is. That's what they're doing.
But according to reports, you know, they're talking $53,000 a year.
Average, not median. And the difference is this. If you have 5,000 or 3,000 workers there, and 800 of them are high-paid engineers, and 2,200 of them are getting $18 an hour, you can come out to $53,000. You don't come out to that for most people in this industry. Unless Foxconn is coming in here to almost double the average wage for unskilled workers in the state, which is absolutely incomprehensible, you're not going to see that. You're going to see people earning $25,000, $30,000, $35,000 a year without benefits. Okay, and some engineers earning well, which is the entire way worldwide that this industry is structured.
Yeah, but here's the other question that I have for this, because, you know, this is part of a much larger problem in my view. We've got this beggar thy neighbor economic development that has grabbed this country by the throat to where we're sacrificing education spending, infrastructure spending, so that we can give, you know, massive handouts to these corporations. In fact, a 2016 study by Ernst & Young found that, you know, right now these companies and capital investment, the first thing that they're looking for is not a tax structure, is not location, is not a union-friendly environment, but how much money they can fleece from the local and state governments.
Exactly. Bearing in mind, I think we need to understand this. These are not gifts here. These factories are profit-making institutions. A company doesn't build a factory based on a tax subsidy. They build it because they're going to make money on it. If they did it because of a tax subsidy, as soon as that subsidy is gone, the plant's gone. So if you're talking about serious economic development, you have to recognize that these firms and these companies, these factories that are built, are there to make money at standalone operations. Now, the icing on the cake is if they can convince somebody to put in another $500 million or pay for something else. But these companies and the factories are designed to be profitable. If they are designed to be unprofitable and only dependent on the subsidy, you have no economic development. You have a parasite. And when the parasite is finished or the state runs out of money, place is gone. And so you have to understand that in terms of these things that are being built. Because if Foxconn is saying, unless we get the subsidy, we're not going to do this, that means the place is automatically non-profitable and it will be a complete dependent on the state of Wisconsin forever. The wrong thing to do.
I'm with you. Let's move on. Before I let you go, I got one more thought. You know, going back to last week's health care vote, I'm curious your thoughts of John McCain.
Well, I'm glad he did it. And I think he did a good thing by doing that. I think it could be that he might have really been aggravated when he was insulted by Trump. But I think fundamentally, we as progressives should fight for what we want. And what we want is a single-payer operation. We don't want the insurance companies to be the gatekeepers. And this is the time to push it, particularly if Trump is going to go now and destroy Obamacare administratively if he can do it.
Yeah, I mean,
time to go on the offensive. Time to really grab this and say, if we're pro-life, how can we possibly support an extra 30,000 or 40,000 people in this country dying because they don't have insurance? You know, this is a moral, fundamental issue, and we should grab it and run with it.
I'm right there with you. I mean, to me, and again, I had a long conversation with my kids about the idea of single payer, and my 9-year-olds are saying, yeah, it makes sense to have one big giant insurance pool that everybody pays into, cradle to grave. Makes perfect sense to a 9-year-old.
Well, it makes sense to Social Security. You know, it makes sense to veterans. It makes sense to the hotel workers in New York City, all of whom are covered under one basis or another, and what amounts to a single payer system, and so. We can do it, and we can save billions of dollars. The only impediment, as far as I can see, is Big Pharma and the insurance company.
Yeah.
Most people don't want this craziness that we've got. Yeah, supporters of Trump, too, when they have a chance to think about it. But if we don't do it, we're lost. And this is the moment, I think, to go on the offensive and stop screwing around here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Frank, I appreciate the time. Thanks for the information.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Great talking with you. Frank M. Speck, managing editor there and producer at Workers Independent News, the great clips you hear at the beginning of the program. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.
A union man, brother firefighters, my friend. And the kids locked in the Capitol are fighting till the end. And we're not gonna break tonight, and we're not gonna bend. Some say the union's down, but I asked around, and everybody said, this is a union town, a union town, all down the line. This is a union town, all down the line. And if they come to strip our rights away, we'll give them hell every time. This is a union town, all down the line.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg.